From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns begins to deal with the foundation of the Ten Commandments. Although many reasons can be given for obeying God's law as expressed in the Ten Commandments, verse 2 of Exodus chapter 20 gives the overriding incentive. In giving the commandments to Moses, God said, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Purely and simply, men are to obey God's law because of who He is, the God of all flesh, to whom belongs all power and majesty. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the collection by C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and verse 7. There is no spot in thee. Having pronounced his church positively full of beauty, our Lord confirms his praise by a precious negative. There is no spot in thee. As if the thought occurred to the bridegroom that the carping world would insinuate that he had only mentioned her comely parts and had purposely omitted those features which were deformed or defiled, he sums up all by declaring her universally and entirely fair and utterly devoid of stain. A spot may soon be removed, and is the very least thing that can disfigure beauty. But even from this little blemish, the believer is delivered in his Lord's sight. If he had said there is no hideous scar, no horrible deformity, no deadly ulcer, we might even then have marveled. But when he testifies that she is free from the slightest spot, all these other forms of defilement are included, and the depth of wonder is increased. If he had but promised to remove all spots by and by, we should have had eternal reason for joy. But when he speaks of it as already done, who can restrain the most intense emotions of satisfaction and delight? O my soul, here is marrow and fatness for thee. Eat thy full, and be satisfied with royal dainties. Christ Jesus has no quarrel with his spouse. She often wanders from him and grieves his Holy Spirit, but he does not allow her faults to affect his love. He sometimes chides, but it is always in the tenderest manner, with the kindest intentions. It is my love, even then. There is no remembrance of our follies. He does not cherish ill thoughts of us, but he pardons and loves as well after the offense as before it. It is well for us it is so. For if Jesus were as mindful of injuries as we are, how could he commune with us? Many a time a believer will put himself out of humor with the Lord for some slight turn in providence. But our precious husband knows our silly hearts too well to take offense at our ill manners. The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place." Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family and friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone toll-free to 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
Now we return to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. The book of Exodus, chapter 20. And reading together through the Ten Commandments. Verse 1 of Exodus, chapter 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. There are very many good reasons for us to obey the law of God. The commandments themselves suggest that there is great personal benefit in obeying and observing them. And they also bear very eloquent testimony that there's a peculiar blessing for the family in observing God's commandments. At least 5, possibly even 6 of the 10 commandments carry a reference to the family, from which we can only conclude that family welfare is a major object of the Lord in giving us his law. So it would be quite scriptural for us to say that we should obey the law of God because of the benefit that obeying the law will bring to us and to our families, and through those families to society in general. That would be quite scriptural. Paul said, the law was ordained unto life. That's why God gave it. He ordained it unto life. The Lord Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, in reference to keeping the commandments, do this and thou shalt live. Now let's stop there for a moment. We must not make the mistake that all too many preachers and all too many commentators make when they come to that statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do this and thou shalt live. Too many people spend a great deal of effort and they put in a great deal of ingenuity in denying what those words palpably teach. They try to make them mean anything but what the obvious meaning is. Do this and thou shalt live. Because it sounds very much like works religion and works righteousness. But a moment's consideration should surely make us realize that the Son of God could not make any mistakes. And there's no possibility under the sun of you or me correcting the Lord Jesus Christ. So we mustn't make the mistake of denying the plain meaning of such words. The Word of God states two things in this regard. Clearly in these words of the Lord Jesus, the law teaches a man how to obtain righteousness by works. But then equally, we are taught that no man can be justified, that is, can obtain righteousness by works. Is that a contradiction? John Calvin long ago pointed out, and I quote him, these two statements are perfectly consistent with each other. Because the fault lies not in the doctrine of the law, but in man. We would do well to keep that in our minds. The law was ordained to life. And there is a blessing, therefore, in the observance of the law of God. There is a blessing for the individual. There is a blessing for the family. And much beyond that, even to the nation. And once you're justified through grace and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ without your own works, obedience to the law of God will strengthen and it will support that new life within you, and it will enable you to enjoy the peculiar holiness of believers in the Savior. However, having said all that there are good reasons like these for obeying the law of God, freely admitting them, we must recognize that there are much more fundamental reasons why we ought to obey God's law. And in verse 2, which we'll take as our text for this evening, we have those reasons clearly set out. Here is the preamble to the Ten Commandments. As God spake all these words, remember what I pointed out many, many weeks ago as we started to study the law of God. God not only wrote the Ten Commandments with His finger into tables of stone, but God spoke them audibly in the ears not only of Moses, but of all Israel, from that mighty, fiery Mount of Sinai. God spake all these words. And He started the Ten Commandments with this preamble. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Here there are three stated grounds for our obedience. First, I am the Lord. And that statement extends the law to all men. I am the Lord. Therefore, all men everywhere ought to hear. But then He says, I am the Lord thy God. And that especially touches those who profess to acknowledge Jehovah as their God. They have entered, at least outwardly, into the bonds of God's covenant. And then finally, he says, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And surely that touches particularly the redeemed of the Lord. So here are three stated grounds. I am the Lord. I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. And from this little text, therefore, we may grasp a great truth and a great doctrine. I can put it very simply, that the Lord's person and the Lord's relationship with us establish first his authority and second our obligation. His authority to command and our obligation to obey. His person and his relationship with us establish his authority to command us and our obligation to obey him. In other words, what we have in this text is the real foundation of the Ten Commandments. Now, I want to take the text as simply as I possibly can. Let me note first that God commands us. The Ten Commandments are just that. Commandments. God does not here advise us. Here he does not cajole or coax us. Here he does not give his opinion. Can I say in passing, God does not have opinions. God reveals eternal truth to which we ought to conform our opinions. Here he does not give us an opinion. He does not set forth his law as an option. Here he gives us the commandments. The law of God is imperative. That is, it carries ultimate authority. The law of God is directive. That is, it comes as a royal decree from the throne of glory. The law of God is regulative. That means it sets our standards for us. And the Lord's law is what the old theologians liked to call vindicative. In other words, it carries a sentence with it. You do not ignore, neglect, reject, or disobey God's law without incurring the sentence of the lawgiver.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.